This is the Stinking Truth.
You excited to you get back in the saddle this week? You're going to be calling a game. You got the Dolphins in Arizona. A real interesting matchup now that Tua's back.
It really is. And it's funny, as I dug into the game tape, and I'm hunkered down watching the film, Mike, and constantly doing that stuff. Man, I tell you what, there's these unintended consequences that happen when you create rules or things happen to you. And you lose your quarterback, and there's some unintended consequences there. Like, I would tell you one thing that I think is an unintended consequence of the kickoff rule. Okay. The kickoff rule, you move it up to the 30 yard line, and you know what's happened? An unintended consequence is you're worse as a team in the red zone. Why? Because when you used to, in my day, when you came off the 20 yard line, like, you were so nervous about taking a negative play there that your menu shrunk. And it was really about running the ball, getting yardage on first down when you knew you were going to face a run defense, all that kind of stuff, because you can't take a sack. You can't allow yourself to have a bad thing happen to you there. So those plays coming off the 30, because your playbook opens up in its entirety when you get just 10 yards to the 30, it's totally different than it is from the 20 coming off your own end zone or your own end line. And so those plays coming off your own end line are similar to the plays you run going into the red zone. So you're less skilled at running the plays that you're going to run in the red zone than you were when you're coming off the 20, because you no longer come off the 20. The entirety of your playbook is open. And so that's an unintended consequence. Coming off the 30 yard line has eliminated you being better and more versed and having worked on coming off your own 20, the same type of goal line plays. So I tell you that to tell you this. The Miami Dolphins have become a better all-around football team because Tua missed time. You watch the way they're running the ball right now. You watch the way they're condensing formations. You watch the way they're using a fullback. When you think of Miami, you think of a spread football team, right? Spread the ball out, throw it down the football field, do all those things. Right now, they are second in the league in 21 personnel. Two backs, one tight end. Those two backs being a tailback, whether it's Mostert or whether it's Achane, right? Or whether it's, whoever the back is. And then it's also Alec Ingold, their fullback. And so they're the second, they run the second most 21 personnel of any team in football. And they are running the snot out of the ball off the edges. They're beating people up. They're physical. And so all of a sudden, when you watch the film, I'm watching three quarterbacks that have played for the Miami Dolphins that couldn't play dead in Western. I mean, they're awful, Mike. And there's guys running around wide open all over the place. And you're like, oh my Lord, if and when Tua comes back, like, that offense is going to be open. Now, I don't know how much rust they'll have, but I'm telling you right now, at 2-5, the Miami Dolphins are a playoff threat.
Well, okay. They were forced to play that way without Tua, and they discovered some things. But now that Tua's back, won't the emphasis be on getting Tyreek Hill going again and Jalen Waddle going again? And won't they just go back to what they were doing before?
Well, The focus will be getting those guys the ball, but to me, they have become a better or a more proficient offense with Tua's. Like, all of a sudden you're like, hey man, we don't have to. So I always say this about being in rhythm, Mike. Being in rhythm, like, if you're a spread throw the ball football team, when you get out of rhythm, like, there's some things that are like quirky, and you drop a ball and you're off, and you're not accurate on a ball, and all these different things that happen to you over the course of that. Like, it's really hard to throw yourself back into a rhythm. But when you can line up in a condensed formation, say, we're going to run two backs and two tight ends, we're going to beat the snot out of you right now, we're just going to try to, shove it down your throat. Then all of a sudden, guess what? You're like, I guess, our passing game is not doing what it normally should do or what we want it to do. Let's go ahead and beat some people up. Let's go ahead and set up a couple of easy play action throws. Let's go up and set up a couple of easy read off the play action. We only have one receiver we're trying to get it to, and we're going to threaten that linebacker, you know, that we're putting in conflict. We're going to threaten him, make him step up and run. We're going to throw it right behind him. Bam, all of a sudden, now we're clicking again. Now we're running again. And I think that's, again, one of the things that you'll see the benefit of Miami missing Tua. Like, you never want to miss your starting quarterback. You never want to miss starting players. But I think they're a better team having missed Tua. Like, they're a better overall team. I think they're, like, on film, I could be wrong, but on film, I think they're a lot better than people give them, like, what their record says they are.
All right, I'll circle back to the Dolphins as part of a larger question that I have for you. But first, what the heck is going on with the Jets? Devontae Adams has been here like 5 minutes, and all of a sudden he's calling team meetings and reading everyone the Riot Act.
Yeah.
What the hell is happening there?
Boy, it just shows you, like, from a cultural standpoint, we always talk about culture. How do you develop a culture? You know, how do you create a culture? And when a guy who's been there for 5 days sees the way they're playing, and he mentioned, we've got way too much talent to play this way. And you're there for 5 days, and you can see it. You can smell the stench that is the Jets. And then you feel compelled, like, you're looking around the locker room going, is nobody going to say anything? Like, this is just okay. You know, I always say this, that oftentimes, you know, talent is wasted on talented people. We got a lot of talent. Don't give a shit. I don't care about your talent. Doesn't matter to me. How do you guys play? How do you play for one another? How do you sacrifice for one another? How do you go out there and leave it all out on the line? Like, to me, there's a lot of teams in the National Football League that think they're working hard, that think they're playing hard, that think they're studying hard, that think they're preparing the right way. And obviously, it takes a guy to come in from a crap situation in Raiderland that knows the difference between, he's seen it when he was with Green Bay and seen it. And he just came out of a crap situation. Like, thank God I'm out of that, you know, that stench. And he walked right back into a locker room that has the same stench. By the way, where's Aaron Rodgers?
That was going to be the question. Team?
He's in the corner. You know where he is. I guarantee you I know where he is. He's in the corner feasting on boogers. He's like, I can't talk right now. My mouth was full of boogers. What's he doing right now? Where is he at? So there's that aspect of it, that Aaron Rodgers ain't hanging around. So there is, you know, I mean, that's an issue. That Devontae Adams. And the other thing is, do guys not respect Aaron Rodgers enough to listen to him anymore? Have they gotten to the point where, hey, Aaron, listen, man, whatever, dude. Like, has he spoken enough to where you're like, dude, maybe quit throwing interceptions and maybe we'll listen to you. Maybe you're supposed to be the savior. You come in here talking that high horse and missing mini camp and going to Egypt and doing all the things you do, getting in, and our head coach got fired. You know, I mean, what was it? It was Woody Johnson saying, hey, the reason I fired Robert Saleh is because Robert, we needed a spark and this is going to provide the spark. Really? I haven't seen the spark. Well, we got Devontae Adams. Now our offense is going to be fixed. Really? Because it didn't look fixed the other day. Like, I mean, what are we doing here? Devontae Adams has to come in and address your organization because you guys suck that bad? That's an issue, Mike. That is a huge issue.
So let me bring the Dolphins back in as this question. So I got three teams here in the AFC that were all expected to be serious playoff, not only threats, but like AFC championship type threats. I got the Jets at 2-5. I got the Dolphins at 2-4. And I have the Bengals at 3-4. If you had to pick one of these three teams that dug themselves this early hole, but you would be willing to predict still end up in the playoffs, who would it be?
Wow. That's a great question. I think if I had to predict, I only get to take one, right?
One.
It's not the Jets. The Jets are an absolute shit show. So it's not the Jets.
So blunt.
Right.
So I love it.
I think I'd take Miami. I mean, there's part of me that wants to take Cincinnati, but like the AFC North, Baltimore is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's got a good defense, and they played them the other day. And, you know, I think they got a kickoff return, and, you know, their defense played really well. And, you know, I mean, they beat them by a touchdown, but their offense really didn't produce against Cleveland. Cleveland's still got a really formidable defense, and they'll be better. Cleveland's going to be better without the knucklehead playing quarterback. Like the Cincinnati Bengal fans booed him when he was getting carted off, and you know, and we got Jameis Winston getting all emotional, and we got
Cleveland fans.
What did I say?
Cincinnati fans, Cleveland.
Oh yeah, Cleveland fans all booed him when he was coming off, and you know, and I was like, they're not booing his injury; they're just They cheered. Yeah. They're not cheering his injury; they're cheering. They don't have to watch that dreck anymore. Like they were just excited not to have to. So I think their offense will probably be better without Deshaun Watson playing. Defensively, they're formidable. Pittsburgh, all of a sudden, we know how good their defense is. And, you know, Russ threw the ball deep to Pickens, and they made some big plays in the passing game. That was good. We know Baltimore's really freaking good. I think I'd go Miami. Buffalo, I think, is you know, the class of that conference or that division. New England, and the Jets are, so yeah, I'd go Miami in that.
Okay, fair enough.